Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting from this week from the Men Are From GM, Women Are From Ford division here at Car Talk Plaza.
This says it all, I think.
It's only 27 paragraphs. Pretty good.
It's actually quite brief. Roughly 3 years ago, my girlfriend climbed into her car, a 1986 VW Golf, to leave for work. Just before she shut the door, she said, "I love you."
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time she had ever said it to me. I paused, glanced at the steely gray sky to savor the moment, then redirected my gaze at her car to say what any true romantic would say, given the same circumstances.
"You're leaking oil."
Quote, "You're so close." "I should really fix these rust spots." Tears welled up in her eyes. The moment was more than she could bear. She turned the key in the ignition and sped off to her workplace. Not much later that day, I received a phone call from the very same girlfriend. Rather than greeting me with an enthusiastic, "Hello, my love," as I felt I had every right to expect, she was downright bitter. Ooh. According to her, my response to her confession of love was callous and insufficient. My viewpoint was somewhat different. In fact, I argued, by promising to fix the rust spots on her car, I had gone beyond telling her that I love her.
You transcended love.
I was actually extending the intention to demonstrate it in a most tangible way.
Yeah.
She didn't buy it.
No, I didn't think so.
3 years later, she still tells the same story to everyone willing to listen. The message finally got through to Nellie, my girlfriend, that the promise of rust repair equals love. We are to be married. She still drives the 86 Golf. And by God, I really should fix this. Now, see, people say that men aren't warm.
Yeah. But no, I think he's right. I mean, he did go beyond.
It went beyond.
He could have merely said, "I love you too." But I mean, it's understood.
It's uncreative.
Exactly.
"I really should fix those rust spots." It's like giving your wife a shop vac for her birthday, as we have done.
It says it all.
Yeah,
Did you give her the wet dry one?
She doesn't speak to me anymore. I gave her the wet dry.
Yeah, me too. I was worried about being strangled by that hose. It looked rather substantial to me.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt too much, though. She whacks me with it every once in a while.
If you'd like to talk to us about your car or your shop vac or your love, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Adam from Minneapolis.
Hey, Adam. What's going on, man?
Hey, well, a few months ago, I was driving down the freeway and I broke down. The alternator went out on my car. Mm-hmm. So I'm cooking along, you know, and then I slow down. Alternator, battery light comes on, all that stuff. I call my grandparents that live not too far away from me.
Okay.
So when they get out there, we decide we're going to jump the car and see how far we can go. So we only get about 15 or 20 miles every time we do it. We do it a few times until we get kicked off the freeway by the highway patrol.
For being jerks, right?
Right.
For fooling around.
They kick us off the freeway, you know. So then we decide to jump it one more time. But before we do, I remember something that somebody told me once. So I go in the car, I get out a big wrench, and I go and I start hitting the alternator. And then we jump the car, and ever since then, the alternator has worked. I've driven it for 3 months, a few thousand miles now, and had no problems whatsoever. So I'm wondering why this worked, and two, I'm also wondering, how long do I have?
And I'm wondering, who told you this?
Well, I know why it fixed it. It's akin. You ever go into a TV repair shop, into the back room? The first thing they do
is they whack.
They whack the TVs before they take the back off or anything. I mean, because you never know.
Right.
And what happens sometimes when you whack something? If you have a bad connection, it gets fixed.
Okay.
So it's possible that you had a bad connection at the diode bridge. And whacking it, put it back into place. But more likely, I think, is you, and hitting it with the wrench was good. You have to be careful how hard you hit it because you can damage the housing of the alternator, but you must have hit it just right. You dislodged a stuck brush. Alternators have brushes that ride the slip rings, and the brushes are made out of, carbon, I guess, with a wire attached to them, and that's what actually takes the current from the rotor and sends it to the battery and all your accessories.
So is this something that you would recommend for other people?
I think people should do it like every week. I mean, you never know when a brush is going to get stuck.
No, I think you were extraordinarily lucky. And how long have you got?
How old is the car?
It's a 91 Ford Escort, and it runs great. It has like 170,000 miles on it.
Yeah, you need an alternator.
You know, and you've been very lucky.
I've been on bided time right now.
You were lucky that it worked in the first place, because I would say your chances of whacking it and it coming back to life were 1 in 100.
And but it's a good tip to remember.
The chances of it lasting for 3 months were 1 in 1 million. So you have been an extraordinarily lucky guy, and thank your lucky stars, and have someone check it anyway.
Who are you, Westminster Abbey? Where are you?
Oh, that's my parents'. I'm at my parents' place, and it's their clock. It's incredibly loud.
Let me see. Your car broke down. You called your grandparents. Now you're hanging out with your parents. What are you doing for lunch today? Do you know Tom's friend Les Block, who lives in Minneapolis?
No, I don't think so.
Well, you should, because you can call him next time you break down.
Another name to call. Hey, good luck, Adam.
Good luck, and it was pretty cute what you did. But don't get cocky.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
Well, he can take a joke.
I think he's going to call us in a year and say...
It's still working.
Still working.
Some people have a horseshoe.
Yes, 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hi, this is Chris from Hamilton, New Jersey.
Chris,
Hamilton, New Jersey.
What's going on?
Yeah, I have an Eagle Summit Wagon, 1994.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Once in a while when I'm driving, usually when I'm turning, but sometimes when I'm backing up, I hear this noise out of the back end. It sounds something like a very heavy spring springing or one piece of metal hitting another hollow piece of metal. And I took it to the local mechanic, and he said he couldn't find anything.
And it happens when?
Sometimes when I'm backing up, and usually if I'm going forward and turning, it will happen, just like once. Bong! And it sounds like it's coming from maybe the right back, but somewhere in the back end.
Does it happen more if you happen to be parked on a hill?
Well, my driveway is on a hill, and sometimes it happens coming out of the driveway, backing out of the driveway.
Okay.
Has
it ever happened backing into a parking space?
No. I don't back into parking spaces generally.
So you don't? So the only time you back up is coming out of
New Jersey, I just plow right in. Back into it.
Yeah, you just pull in, and you leave the back end sticking out in the street.
They call that the Hoboken method.
The Hoboken technique. I like it.
Have you ever worked for the Federal Bureau of Investigation?
Wow.
Well, I think it's coming from the rear suspension. It's coming from one of the springs.
I like the spring theory.
And if you think about it for a minute, I bet you'll say, it does sound like a spring that is getting tweaked.
Yeah.
What's happening is the spring sits on a rubber cushion top and bottom.
Right.
And it may be that at times, when considering there are certain dynamics involved in backing up that you don't have in going forward, that may also take place when you're turning, that spring is getting rotated a little bit, just enough to make it turn and then go plung, plung, and that's the noise you're getting.
Okay. I looked at it, and it looked sitting in solid, but maybe you can't see it.
Well, you could also have a broken spring, too, and broken springs are hard to detect. Sometimes the last half of a coil will break off a spring, and you can't notice it, and it'll also make that kind of noise.
But you can detect it if you jack the thing up the right way.
And pieces start falling out.
Yeah. But I mean, you said you took it somewhere, and he couldn't find anything wrong.
Yeah, I took it to the local mechanic, and he just said he looked at the back end and didn't find anything.
No, I would take it back to this fellow, ask him to put it up again, and ask him to carefully look at the springs to see if you have a broken spring.
Okay.
And if you don't, ask him to lube the spring cushions with a silicone lubricant and to look and see where the springs sit, if there's anything wrong with those cushions.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I wouldn't be too worried about it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like anything's going to fall off.
All right. My wife will be happy to hear that.
But make sure you wear the seatbelt just in case.
And a football helmet.
Yeah. Oh, and that too, yeah.
Did we mention that?
See you, Chris.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
Wouldn't you like to have a car that only made one noise?
What do you worry about?
I mean, when I drive down the street, I mean, I can't count the number of strange noises that I'm hearing.
See,
Imagine if you only had boom.
Yeah, boom. What was that?
And you'd forget about it.
Well, recently I had to take my Colt Vista to pick up some bark mulch and other things.
Yeah.
Other things for the garden.
And perfect of course, vehicle for
I
that.
Loaded it to the hilt. I piled stuff on the roof rack.
Sure.
Been making some awful noises ever since. I think I broke the two rear springs, but I haven't had the courage to look.
Don't.
No. I mean, why bother, right?
No. Does it go?
No, not really.
That's good enough.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hey, whoa, you almost woke us up. Who is this?
This is Jackie from Alaska.
Jackie. Oh, no wonder you were yelling. You're so far away.
Oh, I know it.
Are you from the bottom end or the top end?
I'm kind of from the middle in the bush.
The middle end, where?
Glen Allen.
Don't know where it
Glen
is.
Glen Allen. I drink their wine all the time.
So does everyone else.
So what's up, Jackie?
Well, I have a problem that your answer will save my relationship and my health.
Cool.
We have a 1987 Toyota pickup.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend has this habit that he won't start the car. He has to roll it down a hill and pop the clutch every time. For what reason, I don't know.
I know why.
My chiropractic bills are skyrocketing. I pleaded with him for my health purposes, and that doesn't seem to help. So if there's maybe something mechanical I can...
Do you live on a hill?
Yes, we do, and our work's on a hill, and everything's on a hill.
Everything's on a hill, so he always parks it so it's pointing down the hill.
Yes.
And he pops the clutch to start it. That's great.
He backs into the parking spot so he can roll down the hill.
Well, he is saving the starter.
That's why he's doing it.
And on the other hand, I mean, there may be a day you call upon the starter, and because of such lengthy periods of inactivity, it may forget its role. It may not be able to start the truck.
See,
there's not any real damage that's being done on my clutch.
No, he's not doing any damage because, I mean, you're going to have to engage the clutch anyway when you drive. And he's, in fact, doing just exactly what he would do after he started the truck. So he's not damaging anything. In fact, he is saving the valuable pieces of the starter because he is the biggest cheapskate in the entire world.
No, he's doing it because it's cool.
No, you know what? He gets this glazed look that comes over his eye, you know? And he just kind of looks at me sideways. And I think part of it's because he knows it bugs me so much when he does it.
What if you were to start doing it?
Yeah, you can do it.
I don't know.
Do you drive?
Well,
you want to
right
learn?
Right now I have a broken hand, so I have a hard time driving.
Ah.
Okay, so could now you give me an answer, and then I could cut off first part of your answer?
Oh, I see.
That would get
it's terrible to do this. He's burning up the clutch. He's wrecking the transmission. He's going to ruin the engine. Is that what you want to hear?
I knew it. It's a safety issue.
It's a safety issue as well.
Yeah.
Right. And he deserves a dope slap.
Yeah,
I'm just the person to give it.
So you can just
give
buy
it to
this
him with a hand that's broken, so that it's got the cast on it, and boom.
That's right.
You'll knock him all the way to what name a city?
Anchorage,
Nome,
Anchorage.
Nome.
I thought
Nome
it was Gnome.
Further.
Gnome. Tell me one thing, Jackie.
Yes.
We've had a number of calls from Alaska, and it's always a call about my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my girlfriend. Is anybody married in Alaska?
I think there's a couple of people that are married.
Jeez, we never hear from them. We always hear from people who are talking about boyfriends and girlfriends.
Well, you got to figure the people that would go to Alaska have to be free spirits to begin with. I mean, you wouldn't go to Alaska.
Living on the edge.
And so free spirits have trouble with personal relationships?
Exactly. Commitment.
With
I
commitment.
Don't have a problem with commitment. Now, see, that's a whole other subject. You're just I can't even get into that subject. About
so, if
marriage.
He asked you to marry him, you would consider it.
I would. Yes, I would.
You'd lunge
it.
At it.
I might. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See.
But you know what? My life is good. I'm not gonna. I'm happy.
Yeah. We don't want to bring up any sore subjects, and I'm sorry I brought it up, but I'm not really.
I know, you guys...
I'm always seeking the truth. I'm a seeker of truth, you know? That's my job in life.
And
that and Cuban cigars.
And a good scotch.
Yeah. Well, Jackie...
We hate to disappoint you, but he really isn't doing anything too detrimental or even at all detrimental to the truck.
No.
So, but if you want to take that previous statements, those previous statements that we made and excerpt those and just play him the tape, you can probably get him to stop doing it.
All right, guys. Well, thanks.
See you later. Good luck, Jackie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, look, we have to pause right now and take a break.
Oh, is this the place where we go chisel our noses?
Powder our noses.
Oh, powder our noses.
We'll be back in a minute.
You're a bottle cap away from pushing me too far. Well, the problem's getting big, and it's a compact car.
And even though ACLU lawyers have second thoughts about this whole freedom of speech thing whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk...
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, hey, watch this.
Remember a couple of weeks ago we read a list of famous last words,
right.
I think. And the very last one on the list, I still remember it was, hey, watch this, which I thought was kind of interesting. And I think we may have the beginnings of something as people have been sending us examples.
Oh, really?
Of, hey, watch this. Here we are. A Bixby, Missouri man died after trying to swallow a live fish he had grabbed from a creek. No, I don't think I should mention his name. Todd, 45, was apparently drinking with friends when he yelled, hey, watch this! Grabbed a 5-inch perch from the creek and dropped it headfirst into his mouth. The fish got lodged in his throat and he choked to death, which is not funny.
No.
But it is certainly an example of, hey, watch this.
Yeah.
And I would like to ask people to send us more examples of, hey, watch this.
Yeah, preferably not resulting in anyone's demise.
Yeah.
Maybe hospitalization.
Hospitalization would be better.
Yeah.
But I mean, for famous last words, what's more, what's better than, hey, watch this? Boom!
Well, I can think of a lot worse ways to go.
I can, too, with a perch on your gullet. So just send your news items or any, you may have personal experiences, if you could just send them to, hey, watch this, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Meh, 02238.
Or you can email us from cartalk.com, hey, watch this. Look, if you have a question about your car...
Have you ever done that? Hey, watch this. I'm trying to remember. I mean, I know I must have.
Oh, yeah. No, if
if you think about it enough, you'll think of something.
Well, I can think of a few things that I wouldn't want anyone to know about. But yeah.
Boys are big on, hey, watch this.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll think of a few if I really put my mind to it. Anyway, if you have a question about your car, and you have to call us right now, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Andrea from Dublin, California.
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
I'm doing great.
And where's Dublin?
Dublin is just east of San Francisco, about 50 miles east of San Francisco.
Oh, really?
Beautiful
really?
Bay Area. Yeah.
Is it just past, are you ready for this? Is it just past Hayward?
You got it.
Man alive!
Actually,
do I know my geography?
You do.
I do, don't I?
All right, I have a 92 Acura Integra. It has 120,000 miles on it. And just the past couple months, I've been having problems with whenever I go over a bump or turn a corner or change lanes on the freeway and go over the freeway bumps, I hear like a rattling in the steering column. And at first it sounded like just metal kind of clashing together.
Yeah.
And my friend Mary, she said it sounds like a bike chain rattling in either the dash or the steering column.
Are you missing a bike?
No, I have a bike, and it's got a chain on it.
You hit a bump, and you hear once?
Continuous? Quickly. Yeah, it rattles quickly, and as soon as I smooth out of the bump, it stops.
And it sounds like it's coming right out of the dashboard.
Right, or the steering column.
Yeah.
Is it something to be concerned about?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. What do you think it is?
How concerned should she be?
Well, I don't think it's really something that's going to cause you bodily harm. What I think it is, and your car is just the right age to have a broken stabilizer link.
Broken stabilizer link.
Yeah, which is right under the dashboard.
Well, behind the, right here,
it is behind the dashboard.
They stabilize the radio.
It is behind the dashboard, but it's about 3 feet away. But
sounds travel. Yeah. And what you think is coming from behind the dashboard is actually coming from either the right front or left front or both front wheels.
From the front wheel.
And the stabilizers are little bolts.
Okay.
With a bunch of rubber, thick rubber grommets that go between the stabilizer and the lower control arm.
Okay.
And when one of them breaks, it can cause the stabilizer part of it to bang against the other part when you go over bumps, and also to interfere with the axle so that when you do that, when you're driving along and you hit a bump, the broken piece of the stabilizer will actually hit the axle and go.
Right.
For a few seconds and then go away. And the rest of the time, you hear nothing.
Exactly.
This is brilliant, isn't it, Andrea?
So what is it going to cost me?
Oh, cheap.
Small, short money.
As
we say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Short money.
Yeah, you probably need both of them replaced.
So
and of
both
course,
sides.
Yes, they're just on the front. And while they have it up in the air, they're going to discover that you need brakes, ball joints, a muffler.
Tie rod ends, everything.
Yeah.
But basically, a broken stabilizer link on both.
Yeah. Which is going to cost you, the short money is going to be $1,000.
Are you serious?
No. I mean, it should cost you $100, but it may end off costing you $1,000 when they find all the other things wrong with your car. And of course, it's time for another timing belt and all that. I would say $1,680.
Aren't you glad you called?
My timing belt replaced.
But you're going to need all this stuff, and it's a lot of it is safety related, and you will thank us for saving your life, even though
that's why I'm calling. I just want to keep ignoring it.
No, that's right. I mean, your life is worth at least $1,600.
I hope so.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, I appreciate your help. I enjoy listening to you guys.
Thanks, Andrew.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Joel from Alto, Michigan.
Hi, Joel or Joel?
Joel.
With an E, with an L.
With an L, J-O-E-L.
Got it.
I have a 1998 Chevrolet Blazer. I was having some routine maintenance done on it, which consisted of a transmission fluid change and filter.
Uh-huh.
Less than 24 hours later, while driving down the street with my family, the transmission failed. I had it towed back to my dealer, and they put it up on the rack, and when they pulled out the transmission, they found two shop rags stuffed between the transmission and the transfer case.
Two shop rags?
Yes.
How interesting.
Yeah, now see, I'm a physician, and in my profession, it's usually considered bad form to leave stuff behind.
Yeah. And it was bad form in our profession, too.
They speculated that they were probably left behind when the transmission had been changed previously, which was probably about 100,000 miles ago.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Get out of here.
Yeah, no, I think, well, did you actually see the rags the instant they were visible?
No, I did not see the shop rags the instant they were visible. I went to the shop later on, and they showed me, you know, the transfer case and where the rags were positioned.
Oh.
Well, I don't know how, certainly if they are telling the truth, and they did just a routine fluid change.
Right.
There is no way...
They would not stuff rags in there.
There was no way that rags would get between the transmission and the transfer case.
Yeah, that's what's going to be one of my questions, if there's any way that could have happened.
No.
Do you know for a fact that they actually even took the pan off when they did this fluid change? Because we don't do that anymore unless the pan is leaking.
I think they did drop the pan and change the filter.
They did.
I mean, would rags... You know, between the transmission and transfer case, could that do anything to cause a failure?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, but it's not really made to have rags floating around in there.
Yeah, but the question is, it's awfully fishy, Joel.
Yeah, it
really is.
It's off. I mean, only because the thing had been working okay. You didn't ask for this service because there was a problem. You just had, this was routine maintenance?
Yes.
Well, I've got to think, here's what I think happened, and I don't think anyone's going to like it. I think whoever changed the pan had a couple of shop rags that wound up sitting in the transmission oil pan.
Uh-huh.
And he then bolted the pan back up to the transmission, filled it with fluid, and you drove out.
Uh-huh.
Those rags didn't get sucked around enough, I don't think, to wind up where they were.
Uh-huh.
But they could have clogged up the valve body enough so that they cooked the transmission.
Uh-huh.
And then when you brought the thing back in and they began to disassemble it, they had to put those rags somewhere, so that they would be innocent and yet someone else would look guilty. But you got to admit, I mean, didn't they feel a little bit? Did they look you in the eye when they told you this story?
Yes, they did.
Oh no, they know how to do that.
Oh, they went to the seminar.
Oh, they had the seminar.
Yeah.
Looking the customer in the eye.
So now, of course, they are off the hook.
Right.
And so are the guys who rebuilt the transmission previously, because it was 100,000 miles ago, and rags notwithstanding, it lasted 100,000 miles.
Yes.
So pay for the transmission and shut up.
It's already been done.
Yeah, and they didn't offer any kind of, well, of course, they wouldn't offer an apology because they were blameless.
They did, however, refund the money for the transmission fluid and filter change initially.
Yeah, so there was a little bit of guilt.
And what'd they charge you to fix the tranny?
$2,400.
Oh, about $2,000.
Did you ask them for the version without the rags this time?
I mean, did you make them believe that you bought the story?
I made them work at it. I was skeptical. I'm like, so it fails right after you change the fluid.
Yeah. I mean, I would have simply said, you know, I have no way to prove it, but I think you guys are lying to me through your teeth.
Well, think about this. What if they, when they found the rags, what if they had decided, well, we don't know whose rags they are. I mean, clearly the guy who, if he was one of their techs, if he left the rags in there, he's hiding in the men's room with the door locked.
Yeah.
So when they found the rags, they had to decide to either discard the rags and leave that part of the story, leave the rag part of the story out. At which point they'd have to say to you, look, Joel, you came in with a perfectly operating transmission and we don't know what went wrong with it.
Yeah.
Right.
So the rags had to be woven, pardon the pun, woven into the story.
Yeah.
And they couldn't weave them into the story that implicated them.
They did go so far as to tell me they didn't think the rags caused the failure.
That's in case you take them to court, and they say, oh, no, we already told them that the rags didn't cause. Did they? Boy, these guys really paid it. They must have taken notes at the seminar.
These guys are good.
They're very good.
You guys have been to the seminar, too.
Oh, sure.
We taught the seminar. But I think they may have flim-flammed you.
Okay.
You know, and as such, I wouldn't feel embarrassed or overstepping your bounds to ask them for most of your money back.
Yeah.
and see what they say. The most they can say is no, and you say, well, I think I may have to sue you, and they may decide to settle with you then. But I think they owe you some money back, like maybe $1,800 out of the $2,000.
Okay, well, they've got a fair chunk of change out of me for this car over the last couple of years. So.
Yeah, well, then all the more reason why they shouldn't have tried to flim-flam you this time.
Yeah, don't forget, you may get a chance to get back at these guys. One of them may need surgery someday.
That's true.
See you, Joel.
All right, see you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, jeez. Boy, oh, boy. 888-CAR-TALK.
Well, it's only fair that it should happen to a doctor.
Well, that's exactly right. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chrissy from Parma, Idaho.
With a C-H or K?
C-H.
Okay.
So what's up, Chrissy?
Well, I called because I have an ongoing feud with my friend Audra that I was hoping you guys could solve. It's between us and our brothers.
Oh, my God. I can tell this is going to be ugly.
Wait a minute. Who's on what side? You two are on one side and the brothers are on the other?
Actually, my brother and I are on one side and her brother and her are on another side.
Oh, this is like the Hatfields and the McCoys. So it's
excellent.
Chrissy, what's your brother's name?
My brother's name is Rob.
Rob. So Rob and Chrissy on one team,
mm-hmm.
and Audra and...
Alan.
Okay, yes. Give it to us. Don't tell us whose side is what. Just tell us what the feud is about.
Okay. Team A says that when you turn off your car, before you turn it off, you should turn off the air conditioning and the music before you turn it off. Also, Team A says that you should not have too many keys on your key ring because that's hard on the ignition if it's really heavy.
Uh-huh.
Team B says that's a load of crap, and none of them are true.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
Well, what if it's half true and half not true?
Well, then I guess somebody's half right and somebody's half wrong, but I was really hoping that one team would get the whole... You know,
I don't
pie
think so.
Here.
Yeah.
One team ain't going to win the whole pie.
Dang it.
Yeah. Turning off the AC or any of those other accessories is not important.
Okay.
Because when you turn on the car to restart the engine, when you turn the key all the way to the crank position, that is the position which engages the starter motor and makes the thing go wah, 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 wah.
None of the other stuff is working.
Okay.
You shunt off all that stuff.
So it doesn't matter if you turned off the AC or whatever else.
The rear window defogger, all that stuff gets
shut
off.
So whoever was in favor of that is wrong.
And that's you and Rob.
Okay. Actually, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the other end of it, which is you shouldn't have a lot of keys, is right.
Really?
Well, because if you have a whole lot of keys hanging off of a key ring, that weight is going to impose a load on the lock, okay, mm-hmm. and as such the switch that operates everything in your car, so that it's possible that wears out prematurely, not to say that you should get rid of all your keys and just have the one key for the car,
mm-hmm.
but you should try to minimize it. It's always helpful to have your keys with those quick disconnect things like the carabiners or whatever they're called,
mm-hmm.
so you can have a key. All your other keys can stay in your pocketbook, for example, and when you need to use the car, you can unclip that key from that big bunch, start the car, and when you're done, you can hook them back together again with this quick disconnect thing.
Okay.
You know, have you seen those little things?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, those work great. So you probably are doing that already.
No, actually, I just don't have a lot of keys on my key ring. I have, like, my house key and my key for my car.
Well, we all have too many keys.
I'm not allowed any keys.
No. No, Tommy's dangerous with keys. Anyway.
If I want to get in the house, I ring the bell.
Good luck, Chrissy, and I'm sure that your relationship with Audra and Alan will still be fine after this.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see, and I guess I'll keep listening to you, even though you didn't.
We didn't help. I know. That's all right. Try to find it in your heart to forgive us.
If you wanted us to give a different answer, you were supposed to call in advance and send a check.
Oh, that's the step that
how
I
are
missed.
We supposed to guess?
Oh, crap.
If you had called and said, this is Chrissy, we'd have looked at each other and we'd have winked
we'd have
at each other.
We'd have given ourselves
a
nod.
And we would have said,
next time you'll know. See you, Chrissy.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye. All right. It's time to take another short break.
I prefer to think of these little breaks as temporary cancellations.
Uh-huh.
That way I'll be more prepared when NPR actually gives us the real acts.
Okay. We're being canceled. But stay tuned. We'll be reinstated in just a minute.
Lucky.
Now the world's getting greener as emissions get cleaner. You can barely hear the hybrids roll by.
Sure as cactus is cacti and fungus is fungi, we all better start driving pre-high.
Back in the pre-Prius world, Friday night men driving with your steady girl. Call it cruising the strip, dragging mane, or tooling the gut, it was all the same. Chrome was king, loud pipes were good, and if you talked that talking, your bluff was good. You could lie about having a turbo under the hood.
Now the world's getting greener as emissions get cleaner. You can barely hear the hybrids roll by. Sure as cactus is cacti and fungus is fungi, we all better start driving pre-high.
And even though cats carefully cover their radios with kitty litter whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about what? Cars, car repair, and truth in advertising. And I guess this classified ad was spotted by Eric Thiel in the Ashland, Oregon, Daily Tidings.
Here it is. 94 Plymouth Voyager, 265,000 miles, one new headlight. I would rather drive a railroad spike through my face than drive this car for another month. I would rather drive a railroad spike through my face.
This sounds like the kind of vehicle that you'd be ready for. Do you have a Voyager in the fleet?
No, but I could use a few more railroad spikes.
Oh, God.
Look, that's a real ad, man.
Look, if you're in need of a brain-firming puzzle this week, don't look at us, but do look on our website, because every week that the puzzler is off, we post a classic puzzler from the archives at cartalk.com.
So this is like a used puzzler, in other words?
No, I wouldn't put it that way. I prefer to say previously cogitated on.
Sounds like a baby blanket.
Oh, that's recogitated. Anyway, if you have a question about your car right now, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Chip McDonald in Magnolia, Arkansas.
Chip?
Yes.
From Magnolia?
Magnolia, Arkansas.
Great.
All right. I've got a 93 Cavalier, and it just broke 145,000 miles on it.
That's a bad word to use in association with a car just broke.
Well, it goes well with this car.
Oh.
And for a while now, well over probably 2 or 3 months now, when I start the car, I get this really bad shot of gas fumes through the air conditioning vents. I mean, it's so bad, like my friends don't want to smoke in my car, which is good because I don't want them smoking anyway.
That's good,
but,
yeah.
But anyway, but it's not good when I'm, like, going out because the girlfriend's like, oh, what is that?
What is that? And you say, sorry.
Well, wait a minute. You have a 93 Cavalier and you have a girlfriend?
you can get a date driving around in a 93 Cavalier.
That smells of gas?
Well, that's not good, is it?
No, it's not. And there's some more stuff, too.
Go ahead.
Okay. When I'm also turning the key, here lately especially, it's been kind of... It's acting like it wants to start, and then you get this really bad, like, scraping sound,
yeah.
And then it fires off. I mean, it's boom, and then we're ready to go.
And then the smell of gas.
And then you get the smell of gas from the vent.
To add insult to injury.
Yeah. And then when you back it out, put it in drive, if I have to step on the gas pretty good, it sits there and sputters and kind of bucks and sputters for a little bit until we get up to speed a little bit, and then we're fine.
Then it's okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think you qualify for the three questions for a dollar.
Three questions for a dollar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeez. Well,
but.
I had some engine work. You want to know about it, too?
Go ahead.
Okay. This is probably about 2 or 3 months ago. I had a blown head gasket and a warped engine head.
Oh.
So I had to have the whole thing, had to have a new gasket put on. They had to take the warp out of the engine head. It cost me almost $800 and the whole nine yards. I'm still paying it off.
So they didn't put a new head on. They used the old head.
That's the way it sounds. I think they took out the warp and put the old head on.
Well, in doing so, they had to remove the fuel lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the smell is coming from a loose fuel line that's dripping gasoline. When you first turn the key, the first thing that roars into action is the fuel pump.
Yeah.
And it supplies pretty high pressure to the injector. I think this has one injector. This maybe it has four. I don't know.
So when you turn that key, that pump is pumping out some serious gas.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take much of a leak to make a lot of smell.
Uh-huh.
So if you got one little drop of gas onto the manifold, for example, once your ventilation system started working, that is the blow where you start the car and you get the blower working, you're going to suck those vapors right into the passenger compartment. It's going to smell awful.
Okay.
Now, let me ask a question here.
Okay.
My brother said you qualify for the three questions for a dollar.
Right.
Now, are you going to attempt to use this one answer to answer all three questions?
I hadn't decided.
Well, I just
didn't know the opportunity was there. But
well, that's why I bring
if you
it
see
up.
Something that I don't see, I mean,
well, I thought you might be able to weave.
Okay, now I guess I should tell you this gas smell's been happening since before I had to get the gasket changed.
Oh, what a rotten piece of information that is.
Bad connection.
That's bad, right?
Well, I mean...
Static. You're static on the line.
It doesn't mean that you don't have a gas leak.
No, you could have a leaky fuel injector, too.
I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
A leaky fuel injector will cause the same thing to happen.
See, now you're getting to the possibility here.
Okay.
You probably have the answer to two of his questions.
I do.
If we have a leaky injector,
it could explain the hesitation and the stumbling.
And the stumbling.
When it's cold.
When it's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when the thing warms up, a warm engine is more forgiving of an injector that isn't spraying properly.
What was the third symptom?
The noise. The third symptom is the bad flywheel that you have.
The bad flywheel. Ooh, that doesn't sound like fun.
That's the the noise you get is the kind of noise you would get if the engine were already running and you tried to start it.
No, it's more of a just kind of a, it's like just something's kicking real good and just hitting off. Because it's like you turn the keys and then you're good.
Oh, and it could be that the starter is just gone, the starter motor.
The starter's starting to go?
Yeah, so you should probably take it to your repair shop. They'll throw it up on the lift and pop the starter out, and they'll look at the flywheel.
Okay.
And see if it's chewed up.
They'll see if it's chewed up or broken.
Ooh.
And if they can't determine that, then they'll just put a new starter in, and hopefully the noise will go away.
Okay.
So you may get out of this for a few $100, man.
Oh, well,
just
that'll
tell them
be
to
good.
Tack it on to the other payments. See you, Chip.
Thanks, bud.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lori in Elsa Bronte, California.
Emily Bronte, California? Where is this?
Elsa Bronte?
It's in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Is it actually in the Bay?
No.
Is it Elsa? Close. Is it two words?
Yeah, Elsa Bronte.
Yeah.
It means the leftover.
Right, Elsa Bronte.
Oh, it's El.
Yeah,
not
like El. Like El Segundo?
Not, oh, it's
not Elsa Bronte.
It's not Emily Bronte's sister,
no,
Elsa.
No.
El Sabronte. And Sabronte means what?
Remainder.
The leftover.
The leftover.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something
well,
like
that's
that.
That is a charming name for a city.
As long as you don't know,
as long as you don't
what,
know what
it means.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
El Sabronte.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So what's up?
I have a car relationship question for
car
you.
Car
slash relationship question.
Go for it.
Well, my boyfriend and I have been together for 3 years, and we've been living together since December. And also since December, he's been accumulating old vehicles.
Ah.
The first was a 1965 Chevy one-ton panel truck.
Well, that's a nice vehicle.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then there was a 1949 Harley-Davidson Panhead with the sidecar.
Yeah.
And now there are two more 1965 Chevy pickup trucks, and he could tell you the difference. All I can tell is one has more rust than the other.
No, see?
Yeah.
You don't see.
You're not a discriminating user.
Yeah.
No, not really.
No.
Yeah, you're going to have a hard time convincing us that he's doing anything wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the
well,
question is, have you got a problem with that, Laurie?
Well, here's the catch.
Yeah.
My boyfriend is blind. He can't drive any of these vehicles.
Interesting.
So there's kind of this pressure on me to drive them.
Oh.
He hasn't always been blind. blind. He used to be a mechanic before he lost his eyesight. So he likes to work on them.
Oh, he does.
And I don't know why he can't be satisfied just working on them.
Oh, no, come on, Laurie.
And not having to have me drive them.
You've got to drive them
once
in a while.
No, you've
got to
give the guy a ride. Come on. I mean, first of all, he's got, what, three pickup trucks?
Right.
He's not going to know the difference between pickup truck A and pickup truck B, so you only have to drive one of them.
Well, neither one of them is going to run anyway.
Right.
But I don't know how to drive a motorcycle, and this one has a kickstart.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
People call suicide shift, and
yeah.
That
yeah,
doesn't sound good to me.
Yeah, you may have to just crash that into a tree in the first 5 minutes and get yourself off the hook with that one.
Right.
But the other vehicles you can drive, and I think it'll strengthen your relationship. It will bond you together for life.
You think so?
Is this the guy? I mean, is this the guy that you... This,
3 years?
Is he the one?
Yeah, maybe so.
Has he popped a question yet?
No.
Have you?
Well...
You know what the question is.
I might have tried.
Ah, he's not interested.
Well, I don't know. That's a good question.
Right now, he's interested in trucks.
Yeah. So you think I should just make my peace with it, huh?
I think so. I mean, obviously, if he's gone to all this trouble to collect these things,
mm-hmm.
then it means a lot to him.
Right.
And if you think that he means a lot to you, then I think you got to just bite the bullet.
Yeah, I guess you're probably right.
Yeah. embrace them.
You have the right attitude toward it. I can tell from the sound of your voice that you love the guy, and I think you should just go with it.
Okay.
That's my feeling, too.
And if he doesn't say yes to your question, ask him a different question.
Okay.
See you later.
All right. Bye.
See you, Laurie. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Paul Everett calling from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Hey. No last names, please.
Sorry about that.
North Carolina.
That's in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And what can we discuss with you today, sir?
Well, I was hanging out on the internet one day, and I was at one of those classified used car search engine things.
Yes.
And I did a search for cars in the $0 to $250 category.
You cheapskate. Come on. Zero.
Wait a minute. Did my MG come up?
No, but every other car you ever owned did.
Actually, only one car came up. One car came up, and it was about 3 hours away from my house, and it was $200. It was a 86 Chevy Nova.
Yeah. Gee, that's not bad.
Yeah, not too bad. It runs real rough and backfires, and, you know, it makes a lot of noise.
Couldn't
exactly
be better.
What I wanted.
Yeah.
So we drive it back here, and it's running great for about a month, and the previous owner took a radial saw to the roof and sawed out an enormous hole. So there's no cover. It's sort of a homemade sunroof. And so to get in and out of the car, everybody would walk across the hood and across the trunk and things like that. And one night, there were about five people that were in the process of getting in the car. They were standing on the hood, and they started, you know, dancing around. And then all of a sudden, all this smoke and sparks and flames come out from under the hood.
I know what happened.
We sort of realized that it must have been the battery that had sort of blown off or something.
Well, yeah, they short-circuited the battery by crushing the hood.
Exactly. The battery had welded itself. The positive terminal had welded itself to the underside of the hood. It got so hot.
Love it.
And the ground wire was completely burned in half. And believe it or not, the car started, just didn't have any headlights, no taillights, no brake lights, no turn signals. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Right.
Yeah, because you fried all those wires.
Right. Well, you burned out all the fusible links.
Yeah, none of the fun stuff worked.
Oh, yeah, the battery got cooked.
But, you know, the car still runs, and I checked all those. There's a set of fusible links right on the positive terminal, and I checked all those. Those are fine. All the main fuses are fine. I just don't know what's going on.
Oh, no,
they can't be fine.
Yeah, and there are many other fusible links in this car as well.
Oh,
you,
no.
You need the wiring diagram, which costs you about $200.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's as much as the car.
Get a wiring diagram. I bet if you went to a Chevrolet dealer, you'd find some old geezer there that would just give you the service manual for this thing.
Uh-huh.
Because they don't see these anymore.
Yeah.
No. Maybe you could buy it for $5, and then you can sit down and find all the other fusible links.
Yeah, if you explain your plight to someone. I mean, if nothing else, they could Xerox the wiring diagram for
you. If you had a Toyota dealer, this is the same as an 85 Corolla.
Uh-huh.
Now, these fusible links you're looking at, are these like clear plastic fuses?
Well, it's sort of a box. It's a little miniature
box. Yeah,
that
ain't what you want. There is a bundle of fusible links which look like wires,
uh-huh.
and they run right off of the positive battery cable.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I bet you that's all melted there. if you just took all those wires and stripped them bare and joined them all together and touched them to the positive terminal, I bet you most of the stuff in the car would work.
So if you go out and get yourself a bunch of number 12 gauge wire and just sit down and cut everything and replace all the burned out stuff just by connecting. You're not colorblind, are you?
No, I'm not.
Doesn't make any difference. Just hook everything up.
You could connect blue to blue, red to red, and all that stuff. And I think that's what I would do.
Well, but then you wouldn't have any circuit protection. You can buy fusible link wire in a roll, and you can patch up these fusible links so that if anything stupid like this ever happens again, the same thing will happen, and the car won't blow up.
I mean, the fact that you had this protection is what prevented the car from bursting into flame.
Well, that probably would have been better. I would have gotten some insurance money for it or something.
Yeah, maybe about $200.
$200.
But that's what you need to do. When you figure out how you can get everything to work, then you can, in fact, make some fusible links for yourself.
Ooh, that would be most excellent.
It would be a learning experience.
I'm sure it would be.
And don't let anyone walk on the hood anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's half the fun.
I know. See you, Paul.
All right, thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion Berman. Our associate producers are David, the calves of Belleville Green, Carly, high voltage Knicks, and Catherine, Frau Blücher. Our web lackey is Doug, the old gray mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the San Rafael, Tagliatelle, Wild Chanterelle, Caramel Baked Stuffed Shell, Broiled Gazelle, Black Morel, Steak Nouvelle, and Mortadelle Supper Bell, it's John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. Our lost luggage tracker is Lester Carey. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. Our dessert menu planner is Eaton Flanagan. Our public appearances coordinator is Ida Klein. Our Jeep driver is Jocelyn DeContents. Our short order cook is Bert Toast. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our Working Mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey, known to the summer school derelicts in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And above all, don't drive like my brother.
And above all,
yes,
don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1131, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, how to get rid of Madagascar hissing cockroaches.
Or any other form of wildlife that's taken up residence in your car. Now, over the years, we've been asked how to get rid of mice, ants, rats, snakes, crabs, geckos, mud chiggers, and anything else you can imagine. And our advice to the car owner has always been the same.
A fire.
Exactly. But now we have some better advice. We have a genuine wildlife biologist on the site to answer your questions about how to defend your Taurus from termites.
Or your Honda from horseflies.
You can read her advice and ask your own questions this week all over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though tear-shaped boulders run down the faces on Mount Rushmore whenever we say it, this is NPR.